You've got some new white sheets for today. We've got, in fact, there's three pages front and back. Genesis 21 we're going to get started with. We'll probably, hopefully, move just a little bit faster as we go from here. We're not going to get through all of 21 today, but we'll get a good section of it done. Let's read the text. Genesis 21, starting with verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. He also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely, with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Well, we stop there. It does go on with another account that follows that, but it's not directly related to Ishmael and Isaac. All right, the text begins. We've had the last two chapters, 19 and 20, pretty well all happen within 1 year of Abraham's life. There's lots of gaps that happen in some of the other ones. But this seems to be a very important year. It began with the destruction of Sodom approximately a year ago. Is it to the day that Isaac is born? So that one joyous event covers up the very sad event of the destruction. I don't know, but it's at the same time of year, at this time of year. So pretty well around a year later, this is what happens. It says, "And the Lord," I did put the divine name Yahweh because it is listed there, and is mentioned, although as it goes on, most of the other times in the rest of this account, it simply has the generic name for God, but it begins with the Lord. It also has the word, "The Lord visited Sarah." The Lord visited Sarah. Visit. Does that remind you of any other scriptures?
Mary.
With Mary, absolutely. And so, this kind of, that the Lord visits. And this is, you might remember, even it wasn't too far back that we had, the Lord came to visit Jerusalem. And they didn't know the time of his visitation. This is the word, visit, of God coming. And, well, not always, but most of the time, it's a gospel visit, as opposed to God coming to bring destruction or things of that sort. Concerning this first paragraph, the emphasis on these first on this first paragraph is obviously on God promised. God said, and what happened? As he said, he came to visit, and as he had spoken, he did for her, and just as it was at the set time of which God had spoken. Going back to, everything about this is all about the word of God and the promise, and this is the fulfillment, God coming, God visiting, so that everything that was said to happen did happen. She did conceive. She now, a year later, is giving birth. Abraham is 100 years old when his son Isaac is born. Sarah is 90 years old. We've got the circumcision. That's when the child is named. It happens at 8 days old. We have the Lord just as he had commanded. When we get to Sarah, I put it in verse because it appears to be a song. It appears to be poetic in that. God has made me laugh. The word for Isaac, Yitzhak. God has made me Yitzhak. God has made me laugh, Tzak. So I'm laughing. And those who hear, they're going to Tzak with me. They're going to laugh together with me. And so everything about this, she even, in her words, who would have said that a 90-year-old would give suck to child, would nurse a child? And she says, but I have borne him a son in his old age. And so she is praising God. She's rejoicing at the whole thing. So, If the special birth, the special giving birth, is reminds us of a announcement to Mary, or even about a birth narrative in the New Testament, yeah, it reminds me as well. Significant difference. Obviously, Mary, there is no biological father. So that's a big difference. Anything about those first verses that we need to take a look at that come to mind?
Well, the fact that he is circumcised on the eighth day by his father, who must be the rabbi. And God had told him previously that he is a prophet. And so they're following through with that.
Yep.
They're old.
They are. So the child.
Pastor.
Tony.
He said they're old, so, and I know there's different parts of the Bible, but at the beginning, if you lived 900 years, weren't you giving birth all, I mean, isn't that how we were populating? So was it a change after the flood or something that we started, you know, I know life was shortened then, but...
Prior to the flood, you're right, the years were quite long, and giving birth, you know, much longer was not unusual. After the flood, you begin to see a remarkable change in it. Now, it's not immediate. Mm-hmm. We do have Abraham 175 or something like right. that for Abraham that we're going to find that he lives to, and we are going to find that there are other children. Nevertheless, even when he comes down to Egypt, the Egyptian Potiphar is surprised at how old Abraham is, because already at that time that was not. We do find earlier, though, and probably even more significant than Abraham's age, is that the time of women had stopped with her. And so that seemed to be the indication why she says, Hagar, I want you to step up to the plate. I can't do this anymore. I've been waiting, but it's not going to happen. And so then that happens. So this is what is so, especially with her being 90, and so that had been quite some time. Time-wise, Abraham, Ishmael is born when Abraham is 86 years old. At 99, he is circumcised. So that would mean Ishmael's about 13 or 14, something like that. Isaac is born when Abraham is 100, Sarah is 90. And then we're going to get when the child was weaned, when Isaac is weaned. That is, he's no longer nursing. And so, when does this happen? It happened a little bit, we tend to stop that a little bit sooner. It was commonly understood that it was 3-4 years old, something like that. But, I mean, it could be, and there's a pretty large range. It could be as far as 7 or something. But most would put this at somewhere up 3 or 4. We got a big feast for Isaac, a great feast on the day that he was weaned. He is considered, now, you weren't considered your own man until about 13 or 14, but you were considered no longer an infant, no longer in that. You were now kind of separate from your mother. It was also, I'm going to say, with a lot of difficulties with infancy, this is the point at which you say, yep, I think the child, if it's 3, you know, we're past all of the infancy diseases, we're past all of the other, you know, this is probably a child that's going to live, kind of thing. So there is a great feast concerning it. The child, the term here, I'm going to mention down here, the New King James calls this a child, a yelid. It calls this a na'ar. Do not let it be displeasing your sight because of the lad, the na'ar. Normally a na'ar is a young boy. He's no longer considered a infant or young children, society-wise, were considered, you almost can't say that in today's politically correct kind of stuff, is somewhat considered neuter. And what I mean by this, in the sense that when children are young, 3, 4, or something like that, what do? You throw them all in the tub together. Male and female doesn't mean a whole lot. After that point, you start to go, okay, now you're a boy, and that is kind of the thing that you have with this. The Na'ar was a young boy. This Yeled lets us know that he is a bit older as well. So the child grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to him, mitzaaking. Earlier we had the laughing was tsaaking, but when you mitzaaking, you're not laughing, you're laughing at, you're making fun of. And so, a bit of the play on words, what's going on? There is the making fun of, there is the scoffing that is going on from Ishmael at Isaac. Therefore, she, that would be Sarah, said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. What's going on? This is another one of those accounts that where we may have got caught up in the whether it is Lot and his daughters or kind of stuff going on, and we kind of go, let's make sure we deal with this the way the scriptures do. This is one where you look at this and go, oh, yeah, these are two women fighting. Yeah, the one's jealous of the other, and this is, kicking her out. That's why you shouldn't have two wives and kind of stuff like that. Actually, no. There is a religious or a purpose in what is going on here. Concerning the actual account itself, we're going to have to take a look at it and say, what is this making fun? What's going on with this? Then we're going to see that concerning this casting out, it is a word that is also used in concern with divorce. So to separate, to remove. And when we have here, it refers to, Sarah refers to Hagar as Ha'ama, the woman, the slave woman. The slave woman. They describe it as bond woman, slave woman, same kind of thing. And she says that Abraham needs to remove her. All right. What all is about this?
Well, this would be fairly simple if we didn't live in a politically correct world. Hagar was Abraham's... Hagar was Sarah's slave. We know that from earlier on. She did not belong to Abraham. She was Sarah's slave. However, when Sarah gave her to Abraham to conceive a child, that changed that whole thing. So now this, it says here bondwoman, but she's a slave, which is really where the problem comes in here. This slave now has clearly exceeded her authority, because she didn't have any authority, by scoffing at this child. And in our politically correct senses, this is terribly offensive. to think about people this way. However, in most of the world, that's not a problem.
Go to page 4.
Good idea.
St. Paul lets us in on what is going on. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through 31. He is making a point about the distinction between the law and the gospel. He says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was born of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through a promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." First of all, in Galatians 4, he talks about the two sons, one by the free woman, Sarah, one by the bondwoman, Hagar, and he says, the one who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born, and this one is, according to the flesh. And then when we get to the Isaac, who's born of the free woman, I wish they put it exact, according to the promise, or through the promise. What do they mean, or what does Paul mean when he describes one's born according to the flesh, one's born according to the promise?
One is natural, one is spiritual.
What kind of Ishmael, or Isaac? A spiritual baby?
Spiritual, right.
It's real.
It's an immaculate
conception. Well, it's real.
Conception. You have
so what do we mean by spiritual then?
That's an immaculate conception. He was conceived at the Word of God. Not in the sense that Jesus was, but it's the... It's not without sin, but it's still a...
So what happens with Hagar? Sarah says, go ahead.
I was just wondering if it's a matter of faith. The one is conceived with out faith because they weren't trusting in God, and then the promise, then God gave them faith.
Yeah. Hagar, it's a pretty simple matter. Abraham, I'm going to give you my slave woman. Here's Hagar. Guess what? Bing, bam, boom, out comes a child. Well, you know, it works. Wait, anything religious about that? No, that's simple biology. Now with Sarah, we've got someone who, in all instances, both from Abraham, but then from Sarah, you're kind of, you know, the way has stopped of her, and so is it going to happen? No. But we got a word of God, and when she conceives and gives birth, we say, this came according to a promise. That is quite different. This is according to the word of God. This over here, no. That's just simple biology. That That was not. That's according to kind of the law says, here's the way this works. This is, and I think what Pastor Rudin's trying to describe is, the miraculousness of what comes about through this gift of God. Now, when we use the terms, and we can use those terms, absolutely, we can talk about a spiritual. What do I mean? When I say spiritual, I don't mean not real, not physical. I mean according to the Holy Spirit working through the Word. Absolutely, that's what we're talking about. Tony Prochaska?
Yeah, we've got a clue here, too, why this is so important. Sarah says, Ishmael will not be an heir. Now, he was the firstborn. And in society of those days, the firstborn had a real strong claim on the what would be the succession after Abraham. Now, God also says that he does have a claim, and I will make him a great nation also. But there's, as Paul points out, there's the spiritual and the natural solution. But it was important for Sarai to get rid of that boy because he had a claim.
Aha! We already had a little bit of this going on before. Does anyone remember back in Genesis 16, there was a bit of a dispute? What was going on in Genesis 16?
Isaac was worried about it.
Isaac wasn't there yet.
Abraham.
Or Abraham. Abraham was worried about Hagar. And
because what did Sarah say?
She was jealous.
Genesis 16. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Hagar did. Mm-hmm. Right? And what did Sarah say to Abraham? Mm-hmm. You need to take care of this. Did Abraham want to do this? Did not. Why?
Well, it was still his child.
That's his child. This is, you know, this woman is carrying his child. And so, you know, this is, he's very concerned. And nevertheless, you might remember, the servant is in your hands, do with whatever you like. She is disciplined concerning this because what is she doing? She's despising Sarah. She didn't want to submit. She ran away. Remember the story? She ran away. And then the Lord comes to her. And what does the Lord say?
We're going to go back.
Go back. Submit to Sarah. You know, you're in the wrong. And so she does. And she follows. Now we got another instance. Something's going on concerning this. And so mention is made. What's going on? Tony, you got it right. This child, Ishmael, has now grown. He's 13, 14 years old. He has been... this is the firstborn. How do you treat the firstborn kid? He's gotten all the privileges. He's got... Abraham has showered everything upon him. He's probably taken him along on trips with him. He's been, you know, here's the 14-year-old little boy. Not a little boy anymore, huh? And then, all of a sudden, this other little one comes along. We didn't expect this. And Sarah has a child. And now this child is 3. And we're starting to make a big deal about him. Why? Because he's the heir. And Ishmael is making fun. What do you...
I think it's interesting. When Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, it was for the purpose of getting an heir.
Yes. Right. And God said, no.
Yeah.
Again, that's according to the flesh. Yeah, you can make that happen, but that's not what I am giving you something that comes from the promise. Exactly. So what do you think the words were? What did Ishmael say? Law makes it quite clear. He persecuted him.
I also think it's interesting that Paul applies this situation to every Christian. Because what do we do in confession? We cast out the son of the bondwoman and live in the spirit of forgiveness. That's how Paul uses this example.
He persecuted him. What did he do? He made fun. Your mom's 90 years old. You know, you think this guy, this little kid is important? I'm the firstborn. I can do all of this stuff. Who is this who's come along? No. Abraham has treated me like the head dog for so long. I'll take care of this. And so there was a putting. No, we got the right. Primogeniture. I've been born first. And so they were not going, Hagar and Ishmael were not going to allow this latecomer to be the chief dog. As to, up until this point, well, they're talking about it. But now, they're throwing a big feast. They're talking about it. So this putting down, this persecuting, what did the scriptures say? The scriptures say, cast this one out. I don't know about the time frame. Luther intimates, he doesn't have anything in particular. It does tie it with, here's the feast, and after this says send it away. Luther says, yeah, he probably didn't. It's not like Ishmael said one thing on that day, and all of a sudden, she gets kicked out an hour later or something like that. It's probably an ongoing thing where they're talking about it, they're doing this. But what happens with this? Abraham is not ready to do this. Despite him, now, yes, of course he knows that Isaac is the heir, is the promise. But okay, so Ishmael and Hagar are not following along. Well, what does he need to do? This is an excommunication. This is telling them, no, you do not have the right, and you need to be sent out. You need to be cast out. When you are claiming your rights based upon natural, being born first and all, nope, that will not count. And so, when God comes and says, no, Sarah's right, it's time. And I think that's why Luther says, this isn't the thing that you do quickly or easily. But after some time, you finally say, no, we need to make this official. I need to let you know that you cannot remain in this. And so, needs to be sent away. Why? Because the heir in Isaac, your seed shall be called. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That's probably the motto. That's probably the thing that we need to make sure. That's what they were denying. They had denied the faith that in Isaac will be your seed. In order then, you need to send away. God does assure Abraham that I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he also is your seed. Let's compare it. Let's make the chart. Biological child. Ishmael? Yes. Isaac?
Yes.
Yeah, they're both biologically the sons of Abraham. Next is promise. Ishmael born according to a promise?
No.
No, that's not a promise concerning that. They made that up. Sarah kind of did that. We gave a Hagar and whatever. Yeah, it happened. But that's just by... Ishmael according to the, Isaac according to the promise? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is what makes him heir. Ooh, we're going to get to the next one. The next one is, are we talking salvation? Oh, Ishmael? Isaac?
It would seem to me that Ishmael and his mother were
correct. Mm-hmm. At this point, when they are sent away, which one am I on? At the point that they are sent out, this is unrepentant. This is not coming. Even though they are being told, they are both sent out for the purpose, what does the law do? Shows us our sin. It humbles us. Their prideness. No, no one's going to do this. Pretty soon they're out in the wilderness and realize, you know what? You know, yeah, you don't have a place. You can't count upon this. So yes, at this point we're going to talk about unrepentant. At this point I'm going to say Ishmael is not saved, Hagar, and Isaac is at this point.
So they're excommunicated for rejecting faith, which was Isaac being a promise.
They did not have faith in, through Isaac your seed shall be called.
Which is similar to now when someone gets excommunicated. It's not for sin, and but it kind of goes with unrepentance, but it's a lot. It's a rejection of faith.
It's a rejection of not believing in Jesus, the seed who is to come, the promised one. Yes, absolutely. And so, what does that person today do? I'm good enough by my own first birth. I'm good. I do lots of good works. I'm okay. I'm saved. I don't need Jesus. And, you know, or I'm going to hold to my sin. That's not so bad. So, yes, that's exactly. Karn?
Well, God promises to Abram that he'll take care of Ishmael. But I don't get the feeling like Hagar knows this. Well, or at least she doesn't believe it or trust it, just looking ahead at her despair and the child's going to die. And so there is a lack of faith there that even after they're cast out, God's not going to take care of me.
Right.
Whether Abraham told her that or not.
Back in Genesis 16, though, when this happened before, the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, you're with child, you'll bear a son, you're going to call him Ishmael, the Lord has heard your affliction, he shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. All of this down through here kind of makes us go, boy, this is going to be the rebellious son, the one who is always going to be fighting, who is, and so when we see him sent out because of this unrepentance, we kind of go, yes. We most of us will look at this and say, yeah, whenever I think of Ishmael, I think of all of the fighting that happens in biblical lands today with Muslims and things, and then go, yeah, you know, yeah, you're never going to stop this fighting. And that's kind of what we see. When we see that he becomes an archer, you kind of go, oh, is that a reference to him? Maybe it's just a reference to him being a good hunter, having a vocation, but it very well could be one that tells us that he's a warrior, he's a fighter, and that's what we see. But up to this point, there is something already, though, in Genesis 16. Now, you mentioned, and it doesn't say about him being a nation, God did say to Abraham earlier that he would make of him 12 princes, which is 12 nations. And now in here, God mentions again this nation he's going to be. But it says, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Here's my Genesis 17. I did include that. God says to Abraham, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Is this fruitfulness, multiplying 12 nations, is it simply temporal stuff of this world? Or is it more than that?
Well, the bondwoman was from Egypt, and she got him a wife from Egypt. And it says he will dwell in the presence of his brethren. So it all comes together that it sounds to me that it could be secular for them, because even with all this, as somebody pointed out, Hagar didn't seem to trust it.
Didn't. Once it is established, Abraham gets up early. does exactly what needs to happen. God says to him, no, this is time. It is time to excommunicate. Abraham immediately does it. Early in the morning, gives her bread and a skin of water. Abraham not have too much?
He got a lot.
He got a lot. And this is the way he sends her away. I mean, this is intentional. This is minimal. This is, I'm giving you 3 to 4 days worth of bread and water. You're out. Luther describes this as a very sad parting on Abraham's part, upon everyone's part. Nobody wants to excommunicate. No one wants to remove. And this is his child. This is, you know, this is all, and yet he must send her away. He gives her a skin of water. He puts it on her shoulder. He gave it to the boy. Now, many of the pictures, when you finally get down to the things being used up, and you have this little boy put underneath a tree, and you go, how old was this boy?
17 now.
at least 17, maybe 20. And so, and in fact, at one point they say, well, did he put the water and the boy on her shoulder? Are you kidding me? 20. Sent her away, she departed. Wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So we're looking at down in this area here, where the water and the skin is used up. Placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Left him there. She went and sat down across from about a distance of a bow shot. She's far enough away that she says, I don't want to hear it, but I still want to see what's there. She said, let me not see the death of the boy. She sat opposite and she lifted up her voice and wept. They're at the end of this due to their wandering.
She could have been praying. And she didn't.
She could have what?
She should have been praying, but she said to herself, let me not see. Yes. She's arranging things herself,
she
relying on herself even after she'd been told.
Correct.
These other things.
Verse 17. And God, generic Elohim, God heard the voice. What did he hear the voice?
Of the lad.
Interesting. Didn't say Hagar. It says of the lad, of Ishmael. God heard the voice of Ishmael. Then the angel of God called to Hagar, but talks to Hagar out of heaven and says, I always love the questions from heaven because God never asks a question that he doesn't know the answer or that he, you know, it's not that God doesn't know. What ails you, Hagar? What's he want Hagar to know? How'd you get in this situation, Hagar? And what should she say?
I have sinned.
I have sinned. I denied the promise. I didn't say that was the heir. I thought that me and my son could run the show and take over Abraham and do all this. Listen, you're at the point, and by your crying out and all, you're at the point of, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. If there are the words, fear not, she has been humbled, she has been brought to repentance. She has come to understand her situation concerning this, and God is bringing comfort. Fear not is always the beginning of a gospel. God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him up with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. When God opened her eyes, she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God provides and says to her, here it is. She looks. I don't know if this got produced or if it was there and she didn't wreck. I don't know what happened. But God, in effect, leads them to the point that they are repentant. Then he promises and gives them not only a physical. So God was with the lad. Whoa! God was with the lad. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness The word is Midbar. And he became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And this is the wilderness of Beersheba. And again, Moses is up here. He's dwelling in Beersheba, as we can see. And she's kind of down here. He ends up going a little bit further and lived in the wilderness of Paran. We find that his mother then goes to Egypt to get him a wife, which is important because she was
Egyptian.
Goes back to her home country. She goes back, and maybe that's where they were going to wander, but turns out they are here. There are several things in this text that lets us know that though they were unrepentant when they left, they have come to faith.
Isn't that the purpose of excommunication?
Yes. And so you rejoice. Patty?
Okay. Now, whenever they were sent out, it was just the two of them. And now that she's going to get him a wife, and she, does that mean that they've kind of gotten more people with them, or they've got slaves, or they've got, you know... Does
and
that mean that they've kind of...
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to find that while they are in this area here, what happens? He gets a wife. He starts having kids. He has 12 kids, 12 princes. He becomes, and once again, it doesn't surprise us, but Abraham has, well, Isaac. And even, you know, before... God is going to bless, physically speaking, Ishmael and all that he has done, and it's going to far surpass Abraham's dwelling and his stuff as well. What do I see with some of this? I see, first of all, and I'm going to say this is not a small thing, God heard the voice of the lad.
Abraham raised him. He had to have been taught faith.
Bingo! Bingo! Do you think that for 13, 14 years, God didn't teach Hagar and Ishmael, especially Ishmael, all about the faith so that he knew about the promise? Now, granted, he rejected at the time, but he knew, hey, this is all... And so, guess what? For God to hear the voice, God, without something, it's impossible to please God. This is the voice of prayer. This is the voice of faith. This is someone who says, yes, I was wrong, and who calls out, and God hears him. In fact, God answers him. God answers the prayer. This is someone who has come to faith. Hagar is going to benefit from this as well.
And earlier, it made a point of telling us that Abraham circumcised Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't talk about anybody else but himself and Ishmael.
Yes.
So
yes.
Obviously he taught him the faith. You don't just circumcise him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hagar, I'm going to make your child into a great nation. Provided this, God was with the lad. This is not just physical. This is not... What's going on? Ishmael now... And he grew. He dwelt. Where is he? He's in the wilderness of Paran. What about his mother? Mary, you mentioned about this. Guess what? He is following the fourth commandment. He is obeying his mother. She is providing a wife for him. He is going to have children. He is going to teach them. More than this, when we have Hagar and Ishmael there, God says, I'm listening to him. He's the one. Go over to him. All the blessings are going to come through him. What if you go to your six. Go to the back. Page 6. I'm jumping ahead. When we get to Genesis 25, when we get to verse 8 and 9, we've got Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron. What do we find?
Ishmael's back.
That buries his father. Reconciled not just with his father, but with Isaac. Absolutely. So, he lives in this area close by, and they are in agreement. This is no longer going on. It tells us about the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son. It talks about all the names of them as it goes through. 12 princes according to the nation. We find that while Isaac is only one, we see all of this blessing that is going. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137, and he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. What's that? They dwelt from Havilah, as far as Shur, the east, as good for Jerry. He died in the presence of all his brethren. What is this? Gathered to his people? Here's the chronology. Breathed his last, died, and the next thing is, and was gathered to his people.
Sounds like salvation to me.
The Old Testament, it doesn't know anything about the resurrection of the dead, does it? That's what I'm told by the higher critics. Oh, yeah, not, they didn't know anything about that. That didn't come about till New Testament times. They just kind of... No. You can't have gathered to your people after you're died and buried. Unless there is people who are after this life that you're gathered to. He describes them as his brethren. I think Luther hit it right on the head. You know what Luther says about this whole thing? He says that Ishmael becomes the pastor of a large nation, of 12 nations. That, Brian, he taught him. Abraham taught Ishmael, and Ishmael then becomes a great preacher. And he preaches to his sons, and he follows, you know, the law he did with his mother, and he lives nearby, and God makes of him a great people. Wow. And so he is restored. Obviously, they're in agreement. And yet, it is only through Isaac that the covenant, that the heir, that the Savior is going to come. But this other nation, 12 nations and other nations, is looking to that Savior and recognizes it. Boy, this sure sounds like what? The Jews and the Gentiles. It sure looks... Now, that all being said, I mean, when you have this kind of thing that he's kind of the prophet and that he's doing this, it makes sense when you have it later, kind of tells us about this, it puts it together. But, sad to say, we do see later on that after Ishmael has been gathered to his people and has died, that often the Ishmaelite descendants did not follow the faith of their father Ishmael.
Unlike the Jews who did.
So very good point, Tony. Very good point.
One more, Pastor. Every time I see Havilah, I think of the Garden of Eden. I know. Is there any thoughts there? I mean, it's in that zip code, is all?
No, I mean, Havilah, you know, when they talked about, normally we put the Garden of Eden back here. And so when it talked about the goal of Havilah and whatever, you kind of have that. We're talking back over in this area, which is...
way over.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same. Now, I mean, there are some people that kind of go, well, I think that the Garden of Eden was actually where Jerusalem is and all.
No.
I don't buy it. It just doesn't that fit. So I don't know that... I don't think there's any connection, but...
And is Zohar the same as Zohar?
Oh,
Z-O-H-A-R. Is that Hittite?
I don't know where you're looking, Zohar.
Okay, the last page again. Page 6.
Page 6.
Zohar, Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite. Is that the same as Zohar? which
way up
Lot,
there.
Lot didn't want to go to.
I don't know about that. The yeah, I'm sorry. It's, I just don't know. Don't know. Anyway, so this yeah, we're just about out of time. But that gives us go to page 6. This isn't the only time. We also have Paul bringing it up in Romans 9. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are seed of Abraham. But, and he quotes, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed, for this is the word of promise. Quote, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Pastor Roon mentioned at the beginning, this is a teaches us about all of us. What do we have? Well, we also are part. We need to know that, guess what? Not all Israel are those who are of Israel. Oh, guess what? Just because you're born of Abraham, Ishmael, doesn't mean that you have a place in the household. How do you get a place in the household? Through faith. And so it's the promise. We see Isaac comes from the promise. We see this as well. And so in a very similar way, we had at Jesus' time. They kept coming to Jesus and saying to him, we are children of Abraham. And what did Jesus tell them? Yeah, you don't have faith. How can you be children of Abraham? God could use the rocks to do that. And so once again, it's this same thing. We have the same kind of thing going on at the time of the Reformation, where they want to get rid of the Lutherans and you whatever, and the Roman Church keeps saying, yes, we are in the line of the promise. Not in the line of the promise. We're in the line of the popes. You know, we've got apostolic succession. We've got the right vestments, and we've got this. And the Lutherans keep saying, but the problem is, it's faith. You keep thinking you get it by works righteousness, a sacrifice of the mass. I'm doing this. I get it by good works. And we kept saying, we don't care what you got. You don't have faith. You're not children. And so it's all going to be through faith, and that's, again, what is being taught in this Bible story. So when we get down to the end, biological, yeah, they're both biological children. When we get to of the promise, no, Ishmael is by nature. Isaac is by promise. When it comes to salvation, Isaac is in the line, he said. Ishmael actually comes to faith so that he might be incorporated into the church. Questions? Yes.
None of his 12 sons were wild men.
After... Yeah. There have been some that have followed those 12, tried to kind of go down and see, and there isn't a lot of faith that comes from that. And by the time that we come back out of Egypt and get into the land, you know, they sometimes expect them to be warm towards them, and they're not. So no, pretty well they fell away. And that is always our concern, that we're always one generation away from unbelief. We continue in it, and sometimes there's repentance and the calling back, but that's the problem. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by our natural birth, we are not children of God, but we thank you that through words of a promise and through our new birth, a spiritual birth of our baptism, we have been given faith that we might trust in your promise. We ask, dear Lord, that we would live in that promise, rejoicing in it, so that others too might hear the good news to fear not. We can be gathered to our people, those who have gone before us in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.